There are lots of things making the news these days, waves across the world. You have no doubt heard about our former president being indicted. You've also heard probably about those who've died in the recent tornadoes and the storms in the South. Russia keeps inserting itself into our news, most lately with its arrest of that American journalist. Even if you don't know what TikTok is, you've heard of how it is making the U.S. nervous and many want to ban it. You've also heard about the unease in the banking world with at least a couple of banks falling prey to bank runs. There are things that we all hear about, especially in this day of print and television and internet and radio news. What about in a day, long before newspapers and computers and electricity and radio and towers and satellites, 1400 years before the printing press, Jesus was making waves that are still shaking the world. There is something that you need to understand about this day in Jewish history. For generations and generations, the Jewish people had been living under the boot of others. They wanted nothing more than freedom to worship God and to be God's people. The Messiah would come to lead them into this freedom as a king. Guess what day the Messiah was to appear? This day. Guess what gate the Messiah would come through? This gate. Guess what kind of image a new king might use to enter the town, a new David. When Solomon rode into Jerusalem when he became king, he was riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9 describes the very image of the coming king. The new David was coming into this day, this gate, and this way. And everyone knew that this was the sign. The place was packed. So many people gathered in Jerusalem for Passover. This was something you would absolutely do if possible. Passover was their Independence Day, when they were freed from the slavery to the Egyptians, when God turned the Egyptian hearts to send the Hebrew people out. You can understand why the crowd was revved up. You can understand why the Romans in control there might have gotten nervous. You can also understand why the Jewish religious leadership saw the waves rocking the boat. After all, Jesus meant trouble and change for them. Other Messiah wannabes, yes, they popped up every few years. Well, they had not gotten this kind of attention. Jesus was the last thing they wanted, but the people wanted Jesus more than anything. His very name means God is salvation. The air was electric with enthusiasm for everyone in this parade but one. My image of Jesus here on this day, at this gate, in this manner of riding in, has always been very somber. He knew what was coming. He knew those crowds cheering him on would call for his death in a few days. He knew how agonizing that death would be. He knew how his friends would desert him and even betray him. There was nothing fun or joyful about this parade. Jesus is angry about the people selling things in the temple. He's angry at the fig tree. By the way, that fig tree was a symbol for the temple, which in Jesus' eyes was never going to bear fruit again. Matthew's gospel is always very critical of his people. This is where it gets tough to follow, though. From any purely human perspective, it would seem like Jesus is depressed or just incredibly low. He must be. And then that might be the fact. If Jesus is entirely human, which he was, he must be handling these situations through human emotion. This is the same man who sweated in the garden like he was bleeding. There's no describing the physical toil this whole week was going to take on him, and he knew it was coming. I don't think he could have known how excruciating it would be to carry that cross and be nailed to it. I don't imagine he had that kind of knowledge. He knew it was coming, but he still had to live it to know that pain in his body and soul. This is where Philippians 2 is helpful. Have you ever been empty? Have you ever felt emptiness? I have. Thankfully, not often, but yes. If you've ever tried to carry a great weight in life, then you may have also. Maybe you're carrying emptiness right now, and you're with us today anyway. May God bless you. It's easy to think of a loss as a time of being emptied when you have nothing left to give. I know ever greater times of emptiness are ahead for me. I feel very full sometimes. I feel empty at other times. It's kind of part of being human. What Jesus did, however, makes me nervous. The very notion of God being empty is scary. But Jesus emptied himself. His emptying of himself is a little different than ours. The expression really means that he set aside being God. He gave it up as far as his human life went. It was meaningless to him that Jesus was also God. His life as a man was entirely as a man. It did not gain him to be God. It did not make him a superman. He didn't cheat or have anything easier because he was the Son of God. That's the point. Not only did he ride into this week of torment and trial, but he also rode into this week without any extra help. He bore the week as any of us might. He just did it with a great deal more faith. There are lots of stories in our culture of people who are powerful in some way, laying aside that power to be with someone else who seemed to be smaller or less significant or more humble. The relationship is worth more than the title or position or authority. In these stories, if one has to choose between power and love, love wins every time. That's Jesus. I cannot get my mind around how a divine being would go to so much trouble to have a relationship with us. Don't get me wrong. I think we're pretty amazing, interesting, and special people. Mr. Rogers is right. But think about it. If Paul is correct here in Philippians 2, then Jesus laid aside his godness so that it had no value in his life. And he became a man and lived this life and suffered this death all for the sake of our love. There's no other answer. He was not happy to have to do this. It gave him no joy to march to the cross. He did not welcome the throngs of praise and calls for salvation. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is weeping here. He did not love the parade, but he did love us. He made it his personal mission to love us, even if it cost him the worst treatment and the worst death. He made it his mission to love us into life, even if it meant he had to be completely and entirely one of us. He was empty too. Who means the most in Jesus' heart? Who makes it worth it to him to take the pain and torture and execution? Who makes all the trouble of being born and dealing with the human craziness worthwhile? You and me. This is a tough week. We are walking into dark places and sharing in tough moments. I genuinely hope that we truly appreciate what Jesus went through just to give us a future. That is love. He emptied himself to give us this love. And I'm truly thankful he did. To God be the glory. Amen.